You can't be rescued out of a prison cell by a book. You can't get your blind eyes open while reading a book. We need Jesus. And Jesus, we want you to bring us to Dad. So we pray an anointing on the opening of your word today, that we would find God there. All right. So I'm just going to go for it. Ready? We're going to write to the word. But you are a chosen people. Look at somebody and say, He chose you. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Look at somebody and say, you're His special possession. You're His possession. How many would say, I'm His possession? Come on, raise your hand if you would say, I'm His possession. All right, now here's a little bit harder question. Raise your hand if you'd say, I'm possessed by Him. We got to raise up a group of people that are possessed with God. You know? All these movies and stuff about people who are possessed. We need a church that's possessed. I like that guy. I like that guy. We're God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You know what? He called us out of darkness, right? Out of darkness. Into His light. We've been called into light. We've been called out of darkness. But it says royal priesthood. Royal meaning kingly. Priestly meaning priests. In the Old Testament, there were three types of people that had this anointing of God on them. There were the prophets, there were the priests, and there were the kings. Now, when you get to the New Testament, right in this one verse right here, we're a royal, that's kingly, priesthood. That's two different roles in one. Do you remember the time that some people came to Moses and they're like, Moses, there's people over there and they're prophesying. And Moses is like, would to God that all God's people would prophesy. You remember that section? He's like, I wish that all of God's people would prophesy. That's Old Testament. Then you get up to 1 Corinthians and you're reading through the gifts in chapter 12, 13, and 14. And it says that we can all prophesy. So here's Moses way ahead of the game saying, I wish every one of God's people were prophets. And then Paul says, every one of God's people can be a prophet. So we have king, priest, prophet, and we get to do all of them, right? Now, I'm going to go backwards. Where's 1 Peter in the Bible? Is it near the beginning, near the end? Where is it? Near the end. Yeah, not much left after 1 Peter. Let's go back to near the beginning. Let's go to Exodus 19:6. And you will be, for me, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words you're to speak to the Israelites. God is telling Moses to speak these words to the Israelites. You will be a kingdom of priests. Did you catch that? God's plan for the Israelites is that they would be a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. I thought you only need a few priests in a kingdom to be the priests. Everybody else can just be the regular people. No, I wanted a kingdom of priests. This is God's heart. And then the people looked at Moses. They looked at the mountain. They looked at the thunder. They looked at the lightning. They looked at the trembling. And they looked at the smoke. And they're like, I'll tell you what, Moses, you seem to have a better relationship with God than we do. We're a little bit scared. We're just going to hang out here in this valley and make some golden calves and have some orgies. You go up there and you tell us what God said. And then when you come back, tell us what He said. Because you hear from Him better than I do anyway. It's like rather than me bringing my own revelation, I just go out and find a bunch of Christian teachers that are they're better than me anyway. I might as well just read their books and come and preach them chapter by chapter because I'm not going to have my own revelation. Just go to the people that get the revelation, tell us what they said, and then I'll repeat it. That's the difference between having an echo and having a voice, right? Listen, I'm guilty of a lot of echoing. Some of my best stuff comes from other people. I usually notify that. People are like, that was a great message. I'm like, yeah, it came from a book I read. You will be for me a kingdom of priests. Yeah, we don't really want that, Lord. Okay, plan B. We'll just have one tribe will be the priests. You get to be regular people. We'll just have one tribe be like this intermediary between God and man. They'll be special. You have to be born of this one family and, you know, their kids and their grandkids and they won't have any jobs. They won't have any inheritance. They'll have no land. They're like special priestly people. But it wasn't God's heart. His heart wasn't for the special priestly people. He wanted the whole kingdom to be the special priestly people. And you move to Isaiah 61. That's a lot further in the Old Testament than a lot further forward than Exodus. And Isaiah was always looking forward anyway. And he says, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You'll be named ministers of our God. And you'll feed on the wealth of the nations. And in their riches you'll boast. And then you get the revelation. That's really, really at the end of it. So this is from the beginning of the book to the end. And he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He's made you a king. He's made you a priest. Revelation 5:10. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. They'll reign. They'll reign on the earth. Reigning on the earth. Reigning on the earth. On the earth. On the earth. On the earth. Well, I'm just going to meet Jesus in the air at the rapture, and then things are going to happen. I don't know what it's going to be. Apparently, we're going to eat at a big table or something, and then he'll station me with a harp on a cloud, and it'll be really boring, and I think I'm just going to follow the devil. He's way more fun. I left off the version where it says we're a peculiar people on purpose. But we are, aren't we? We're a peculiar people. So, somebody shot me a text this week, and they were asking about something that a guest preacher said the other day. We had a guest in, and I think it was one of the night meetings. I don't know if you heard it. But he said something like, this may conflict with some of your theologies or something like that. But, you know, I believe we're going to see, a fair amount or a certain amount, I don't remember what he said exactly, of gay people, homosexual people in heaven. And they were wondering what I thought of that. And I'll tell you what I think of it. And it has something to do with this last verse that I just put up there. I think before you answer any questions about whether unrepentant gay people that get to heaven, I think you have to ask yourself a preliminary question. And that is, do people who profess Christ, who remain in their sin and never get their minds renewed, and never adopt what seems to be the clear teaching of Scripture on any subject. Like to people who lie and don't want to get out of their lying because their lying is a big part of their life. It actually is a tool they use regularly. And they act like the Bible doesn't speak about truth. Do they go to heaven? I think that's a pretty good question. I think it's a pretty good question. What do you do with a group of people who profess Jesus, they go down in the waters of baptism. However, They keep all their own opinions about everything and they never get transformed into Christ's image. It's an important question, isn't it? I mean, I don't know why we want to make a big deal over the homosexual one. I mean, there's many ways in which heterosexuals just do whatever they want sexually. I kind of brought it up a few minutes ago, didn't I? Like, there are certain things that we kind of think God wants to speak into that stuff. Now, here's the thing. I don't even know why the question is, are they going to get to heaven or not? I think we have we're absorbed with either being in or being out. Being in or being out. Oh, this person's out. Let's get them in. What are we getting them in for? Oh, to save them from hell. So the whole thing is about saving somebody from hell versus getting them in to heaven. Got to get them born again. Got to get them to pray the born again prayer. We got to get them to pray the born again prayer. They haven't prayed. Hey, are you born again? You want to pray the prayer right now? Then you can pray the prayer and then you'll be set for the rest of your life. Hell insurance. Yes. I was talking to a guy during when Brian Head Welsh came, when he wasn't with the group Korn for a little while. He had like a Christian band and he came to the boardwalk. I was with somebody from another church and we were kind of like walking up and down the boardwalk trying to like evangelize. It was a kind of a big event that we did. And the guy said to me, I got three today. I got three. I'm looking at him like, you got three. Three notches in your belt, it sounds like. You mean you met three people that need Jesus? Man, I hope they found Jesus in your conquest to have them pray the magic prayer. He got three people to pray the prayer. You know, faith comes from him. It's a gift from God. We're saved by grace through faith, but even that. See, some of you are waiting for your kids to catch on. Some of you are waiting for your husbands to catch on. Some of you are waiting for your girlfriend to catch on. Some of you are waiting, you know what I mean? Like, some of us are, and you know what? There's a grace aspect to it. It's a God thing. And believe me, God wants to do more with them than have them pray the magic prayer to save them from hell. I don't think hell is really even on Jesus' mind already. I think he's like, I settled that thing already at the cross. The issue is, I would like to learn how to avoid certain behaviors on the earth because I can never be a king if I'm still a slave. It's not about whether I get into heaven or hell. It's about reigning with him. And they'll reign with him where? On the earth. It's about functioning in your role. Your role. I mean, if you... I don't know. I'm going too many different directions at the same time. You know the story about the little boy that fell out of his bed at 2 a.m. in the morning. The mom comes rushing in. She hears the thump. And mom says, what happened? He says, I guess I stayed too close to the point where I got in. I was reading a book this week, and this pastor was telling his life story. And he said, this guy came up to him recently and made a confession. He said, Pastor, I'd like to come and talk to you about a problem I'm having. I'm supposed to be a 25-year-old Christian. But he says, instead, I've been a 1-year-old Christian for 25 years. Like, there's this thing. If you're hanging out by the salvation door, if your message is a message of salvation, I hope you're an evangelist that hangs out by the door so you can reach out and pull people through. Because any other reason to hang out by the salvation door, Kings who reign. There's reasons to say no and yes to certain behavioral choices, certain tempting choices. And if we make that reason about whether I'm in heaven or whether I'm in hell, the minute you introduce eternal salvation into the storyline, it's like, it don't matter. I'm cool. I'm good. I prayed the magic prayer. Everything's cool. I'm making it to heaven no matter what. And I want to say, guys, we are not doing this Christianity thing, hanging in there so that one day we can make it to heaven when we die. That's not the name of the story. The story is, I mean, who are you going to be a king over? If everybody's a king, maybe everyone's not a king. Maybe not that many people make it to hell. You might say, oh, wide is the road that leads to destruction. Yeah, just look around. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Could be a verse about heaven and hell. Might not be. Not sure if it is. Here's the thing. There's things that I want to get out of because A, Jesus died for that sin. Jesus rescued me from that sin. That sin is part of a demonic structure of lies to keep me ineffective and unproductive on the earth so I can't be salt, I can't be light, I can't be a witness, I can't walk in authority, I can't help anybody else. I just sit in my cage for my entire existence and maybe I go to heaven when I die. Who cares? What were you on the earth? Because he wants a kingdom. A royal priesthood. He wants a group of kings and priests who reign with him. And I want to be that. And I want to be that with you. Do you want to be it too? Sometimes I get like my vision gets kind of cloudy and I get weak and I run into my vulnerabilities and I just kind of think like, oh, this thing's hard. Do you ever feel like this thing's hard? I had a good Christian brother come up to me this week. I don't know if he's in the room. I don't think he is. But if I spot you, I will not look at you so nobody will know I'm talking about you. And he said to me, listen, can I come to church with my new girlfriend, because it's my church too. It's just not my old girlfriend's church. Okay. Sounds like a decent request, right? Can I come to church? It's my church too. I got a new girlfriend. Well, what's the problem? Well, the problem is my old girlfriend doesn't like my new girlfriend. Okay. Do you have a kid with your old girlfriend? Uh-huh. Okay. Do you have a kid with anybody else on the planet? Uh-huh. Are you having unprotected sex with the new girlfriend? Uh-huh. Do you want to marry the new girlfriend? She doesn't seem like, seems more like a convenient relationship because you needed a roof over your head. She seems to be a couple years older than you. It seems like you didn't put the building blocks of the relationship in the right place. I mean, I'm guessing it's not going to last because you're not building something lasting. What are the chances that you're not going to marry this girl? I mean, let's just be honest. Pretty good. Okay. So you have a baby with so-and-so. You have a baby with so-and-so. You might have a baby with this one, and this is not the one you want to marry. Huh. Do you think that when your life comes magically together and Jesus is reigning over everything and he gives you this really great wife and a really great job and you're living out of obedience and it's just like really going good, how do you think taking half your paycheck and giving it away, how do you think it's going to sit with your new wife, your final wife? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you think it's going to go? He goes, it's not going to be good. So I said, tell me why. What I see, you don't see. And his response was, Pastor Brett, you just don't know how hard it is. The funny thing is, I do know how hard it is. I get other people that say, you know, I just got burned out at the church. Like, you know, I was serving all the time, and I just needed to kind of sit at home, watch TV, go to church on Sunday, you know. It's hard. And I'm like, I don't care whether you're serving a church or not, but Jesus lives in you, and he loves the world. How are you doing at your workplace? You know what I mean? Like, forget whether or not you greet at the door or something, or, you know, you come out to this transform class. I mean, what are you? Who are you in the real world? How do you connect with the people at your job? How do you connect with the people at your school? How do you connect with people at restaurants, hospitals, quick check, whatever? I mean, like, are you on a mission, even if you don't seem to be on a mission around here? Do you have a vision for your life, even if it doesn't seem like you're part of the Shore Vineyard vision? Do you have a vision for your life? And what I get a lot of times is I'm just a little burnt right now, and it's hard. To which I would say this to you. The Christian life, when you don't have constant refilling from the Holy Spirit, is hard. Working disconnected from God will definitely burn you out. It'll burn you out fast. Most people will burn out really fast, and the real good stubborn people like me, you know, I'll go a month or two longer, you know. How many heard of the name George Eldon Ladd? Only one. George Eldon Ladd never saw a miracle in his life. Existed years ago. He's died already. But he used to write about the kingdom of God when everybody wasn't talking about the kingdom of God. Do you guys know that there's a kingdom? That's why we pray the magic prayer. Because unless you're born again, I'm kidding about being magic, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom. Once you enter the kingdom, there's life in the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. It says the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. It doesn't say the gospel of salvation will be preached. The gospel of salvation has probably already reached almost the entire world, but it doesn't look like the end's about to happen because they haven't really met the king and his kingdom representatives yet. They met people that are after them to get them baptized. So they pray the prayer so they can get born again. And I want to tell you, God wants a group of people on the earth born again so that they can be taught everything Jesus did and said. So they could become a family/school/hospital/military unit that looks like Jesus. So George Eldon Ladd said this: "We believe the purpose of the church is to advance the rule of God on the earth by continuing the ministry of Jesus in word, deed, and life through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit." But it's not an alone thing. We don't just want to get Natasha discipled. We don't just want to get Angela discipled. We don't just want to get Maria and Marley discipled. There's something going on that's bigger than us. Listen to this scripture from Hebrews. "We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Therefore, we leave the elementary teachings and we go on to maturity, not laying down again a foundation." Do you know the whole book of Haggai in the Old Testament? It's these people came in to rebuild the temple, but they stopped after they got a foundation. Do you think maybe it's talking about something else? They stopped building after they got a really good foundation. You know what Paul said to Timothy? Nobody can build on any other foundation. I laid an expert foundation. And you cannot build a better foundation than the one that I built. But you know what he said next? Now you get to build on that. And he said, some men build with gold and silver, and some build with wood, hay, and stubble. The foundation that you're on is incredible. What we build with, we actually it's our choice. Okay, that wasn't even supposed to be said. First Peter 2:2-5. As you come to him, he is the living stone. He's been rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be this holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices accepted to God. So it's not just about your own life, your own development. It's about a spiritual house. Now listen to this from Ephesians. I'm just going to tie everything together, and then we are going to all connect in kingdom strength and unity. Consequently, Hebrews 2:18-22. Consequently, you'll no longer be foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. You two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Joined together. I've been watching like the trends in the church, and I feel like at the end of this year, and we're going to talk about the next year, 2017, I believe the Lord is showing me that we are slowly in danger of becoming, thank you, slowly in danger of becoming a Sunday church. I don't want to be a Sunday church. I want to be a living stones built and formed together, built up house of God, not just a bunch of foundational stuff. Which means I need to rise up in who I'm supposed to be. You need to rise up in who you're supposed to be. And then we actually connect our lives together and we provide strength and love and power and grace to one another. I need you in my life. And I'm foolish enough to believe that you need me in yours. I'm foolish enough to believe that if God is going to dwell in a temple, we got to build it up from just being a foundation. And all these living stones need to kind of come together. And we need to say, this is about co-reigning with Jesus on the earth. You notice Jesus never sent them out one by one. He sent them out two by two. You know you have power when you're with somebody. You have boldness when you're with somebody. You can build better when you're with somebody. One horse can pull a certain amount of weight, but two horses can pull more than double what the one horse can pull. I don't know why that is. It just is. So, I want to move us forward together. I want to ask you, if in 2017, you want to get more closely knit. We have about 10% of the church in a home group. I'd like to change that. I want it to be like, listen, I go to that Shore Vineyard thing. Occasionally I go on Sundays, but my home group is freaking phenomenal, man. We practice our gifts there. We don't just listen to like somebody preach the Bible. We tried last week. Somebody tried speaking in tongues, and then somebody else just waited and tried to get an interpretation, man. I never did that in home group before. 2 weeks ago, we saw somebody healed in our home group. You know, like, I want to start becoming friends. And I think I've been avoiding this subject because I have close friends in this church. The core leadership of this church, we're really, really tight, and we spend hours together every week. And it almost makes me realize, like, I don't really need it. You know what? We need it as a community. We need to be involved in one another's lives. Now, we need to get out of this thing called a Sunday morning church culture. We get together on Sunday morning so that we can stir one another up towards love and good deeds. If I didn't get together here with you today, I may not leave in the same way. So when I do go to the diner after church, I may be a different kind of person. I may be salt and life. You know, there's reasons why we don't want sexual immorality in our life. Certain doors bring in demons that keep me from being effective. They weigh me down with demons. They weigh me down with disease. They put me in jail cells. God wants a church that's a city on a hill. You know what I'm saying? It's not about whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. You're probably going to heaven if you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Some people came to Jesus one day. They said, tell us what the works of God are. Jesus goes, the works of God are to believe in the one that he sent. This doesn't sound super duper hard. But I want to build up a community who are royal. Who look at the troubles, Ocean County, whatever they have, issues of homelessness, issues of heroin, and we go, we got the goods to solve that problem. So I'd like, if you're brand new around here and you don't really understand or like what I'm talking about, it's totally okay. You don't have to respond. But with redwoods, there are these humongous trees. But if you ever see them knocked down, they're always knocked down by a street. Because where the street gets in, there's no redwood tree to hold on to the roots of the one next to it. That's why those are the ones that always fall down. In the middle of the forest, they very rarely fall down. They usually fall down because of age, but not because of the problem. They don't have a taproot. They only have roots that cling to other roots. And they're huge, but they're strong because of each other. That's why we call our redwood groups, strong because of each other. I'd like to invite you to come down to the front in a symbol of unity, and I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to pass something one to another right now. So if you want to be knitted together in this church, if this is just not your Sunday morning church, but if you want to build a community with me that's moving forward in the Spirit, in unity, in covenant, and in community, come down to the front right now. There's no manipulation, but I'm hoping we have something here. Just squeeze in. There's people in the back that want to get in that can't. Whoa. You were drawing that? Rhea was drawing a root system today or another day. Just now, as I was talking, she was drawing a root system. I didn't even mention that to the very end. That's amazing. It's actually like a cut of the earth and the trees on top, the grass. Thank you, Lord. We love prophetic art and when you're saying things. Woo!